business. What's going on? It's your boy Weston Kirk here at All Over Radio new studio. Thanks for checking in. We have a lot to talk about today, and I'm actually really excited. The shades will come off, the sunglasses will come off, but we were rolling deep last night in Fort Worth. Sold one of my buddies a house out in Hearst. We went out to West 7th Street. It was a good time. And woke up and came straight here. So going to take me a little bit to get in the groove of things. But nonetheless, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. And we're starting a new kind of podcast, I guess, on this channel. It's the same podcast, but just we're one person short. we're going solo on it. So we're going to see how this goes. I'm going to do my best to keep it flowing. But I guess we'll just address the elephant in the room. I left EXP. And this was something I was thinking about for a long time. Let me back up. For a long time, I was actually really committed to staying at EXP. I was at a good team. People were good. When I came over there, long story short, I was at 100% commission brokerage, and I knew I needed some level of support. I didn't know what that even looked like none of the places I worked for before in the real estate industry had offered too much. And I finally was at a point where, like, I experienced 100% commission, wasn't paying fees, and I was paying like $500 per transaction. And then I was like, I'm down to pay a split if someone can offer leads or something of value, right? That's when I met Sean over at True West Realty Group and joined EXP. I was there for 3 years. And for the first two and a half years, it was great. I loved it. I had no complaints. He really helped me grow over there. And I told people for the longest time, they're like, how do you like EXP? Or why do you like EXP? Or whatever question. People have a lot of questions about EXP. And my answer every time was, I don't really care about EXP. I'm not here for EXP. I'm here for the team that I'm on. If it wasn't for the team that I'm on, I wouldn't be here. Because the reality is EXP doesn't really, you know, offer you a whole lot when it comes to generating business. The value EXP has is you're paying, I think they upped that inflation, got them on the monthly fees, started at like, I don't know, 80, 85 a month. And then it was like 90. So it's not too big of a jump, but you paid about $90 a month and you get access to Regis or Spaces or those types of shared office spaces. And on top of that, you get access to KV Core. That's the biggest thing about EXP to me, is access to KV Core. Everything else they tell you is, to me, garbage. There's the recruiting side, which you get paid when you recruit agents on. I'll get into that in a second. But the biggest thing about EXP, if you're going to join EXP, the value is in the CRM they offer. Because KV Core, if you pay for it by yourself, it's probably going to be like anywhere from $250 to $500 a month just for the CRM, not for the business or the leads that you're going to be putting into the CRM, but just for the CRM. And I didn't even have, I was using, I think, HubSpot before I went to EXP. So, you know, that's the value there, that I had built a whole kind of business and system around that CRM KV Core. And that was probably one of the hardest decisions I had to make, as far as like, if I leave, for the longest time, I was like, I'm not going to go anywhere that doesn't have KV Core. I'll get into what I'm using now, but, yeah, long story short, the two and a half years, it was great. Loved it over there. And, it just kind of came a point where when it's like every time I closed a deal, right, it's different than working a 9-to-5, because when I close a deal, I'm paying whoever I'm under. Every time I close a transaction, they're not paying me, I'm paying them, because I generated a deal. So when I'm paying someone every time I close a deal and someone has a problem, whether it's with documents or how maybe something got closed, or like, you know, if the client's happy, I'm happy. Everyone that really matters in the transaction is happy, except for the person that's getting paid for just collecting a check for what I'm generating. That's the problem to me. I couldn't keep doing that. And it was just coming from every angle over there. It's like, you know, they use SkySlope, and like, you know, I have 5 to 7 transactions going on at once. So, you know, you have probably 10 documents per transaction. And then if you're missing one or two documents that you may even have signed, which like that was the case for me, they're already signed. I just hadn't had time to send them to a transaction coordinator or upload them myself. People are just like, where's the document? Where's the document? And you get like 30 emails and it's like, dude, chill, you know? I don't know. There was just a lot of stuff that like kind of sucked the life out of just selling real estate. And the whole reason I do this is the reason you take risks and go self-employed is like, you want to enjoy the time you're spending throughout the day. It got to a point where I was like, I'm doing pretty good over here. It's not the business side of things that is the problem. It's just like, I've got to be somewhere where I'm enjoying what I do. And I was not there at eXp anymore. Which leads me to the new company I joined. So I joined on with Select Label Realty out here in Frisco, Texas. We're off Main Street right next to that FC Dallas stadium. And what happened is there was one deal that closed maybe a month or so ago. And shout out Clear Title. I called Natalie's been on a podcast a while back and on a lot of my pictures on Instagram. But I remember one deal closed. I got a call, got into it with just somebody that at the company I was at. And I was like, hey, Natalie, I'm considering switching companies. And at this point in time, I think I was just more mad. Like I really didn't think I was going to switch companies. But I was just like, I'm going to just go ahead and call because this seems to be a consistent issue I'm up against. And she was, I was like, do you know, because like with Title, and this is like some advice for agents out there, is if you're thinking about switching companies, make good connections with people in the business that deal with multiple, like if they, like, for example, lenders, title companies, insurance, you know, you want to make good connections with these people, because if you want to switch companies and they're out here networking with other realtors and different companies, you can make a call and say, hey, I'm thinking about switching companies. Where should I go? And if they know you well enough, they can kind of make the match for you. And that's what happened. I called Natalie thinking about switching and she was like, J-Par, named a few. And then she was like, oh, boom, got it. Select. She sets up a meeting. I meet up with them over there. And I'm serious. At the time, I was just like, I'll meet up with them, but I probably won't end up doing anything. And then sure enough, I sat down with them for, I sat down with Heather for like, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour, got some coffee and Mexican food. And then by the end of it, and I was like, there is no way I'm not switching. And that was crazy to me. Like I did not expect that to happen. And then, yeah, here we are. I'm at Select Label Realty. So what I found about this company that I liked was just that they are more of a tight-knit group. They do a lot of events together. They're local to the area that I want to be. Frisco, Prosper, Salina, Plano, I guess. I don't know. I'm over here. The thing about EXP with True West, where I was at, is a lot of those like leads that they would provide would be coming from the Fort Worth area. And then, so I'm driving, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to go show a house. And then on top of that, the price per home is lower. Whereas if I'm going to get the same lead source at the new company I'm going to be at, and it's going to be a closer drive and the price of the home is higher, well, that makes a lot more sense to me. So, and then on top of that, it's just like when we met up out there talking to him, I was like, yeah, I'm looking for just more involvement, like more, I want more life in the company I'm going to be in, preferably like a younger group of people that are just more hungry and ambitious. And just like, I want to be in a competitive environment, which are things that you don't get when you're at a cloud brokerage or a virtual, like there's, you know, like everybody's doing Zooms and it's just like, I can't do it, man. I've got to be in real life around people, surrounded by people that are waking up, getting after it, And that's one of the first things, like she said, it's like you walk in, we have a scoreboard that tells you like how many calls, like who's in the lead of like making calls, closing deals. Like they recognize people, and we're taking a trip to San Diego in January. Like just, you know, they're like, we have this event. Obviously, like there's things I've got to pay for to get out there, and there's all my expenses, but they cover like Airbnbs, and they just do stuff for their agents. And I felt like where I was at, I was definitely one of the top producing people at the company I was at before. And it's like, how am I not getting recognition here? Like what's going on? Like there's, you know, like I'm paying everybody cuts and I don't get a dinner. I don't get like, I mean, bro, I'm not asking much, but like, take me to dinner. Give me a drink, you know? So, I wanted to address that. And obviously if you've watched this podcast long enough, Sean was who I would do the podcast with. So, we I guess it's safe to say we won't be doing it together anymore.
Yeah, that's done.
Yeah. So, yeah, so
guys are the hearts for that one. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you didn't catch the vibes before.
Yeah. And drop a comment. I mean, like, we stopped doing them together like before I even switched. Like the plan was is we were gonna take a little bit of a break and then get back into it. And then I just didn't care to do them over there anymore. Like I didn't feel like there was a good chemistry on the podcast. And like after taking a step back and rewatching them, it's like, that's probably the good call. And one of the problems is this is like a little podcasting advice is, if you want to get better at doing these, and I'm not saying I'm great at this by any metric. I see your comments. Apparently I'm just a guy that purchased a mic and graduated with masters in Japanese. I get it, but you got to watch your videos back. I know it's hard. It's cringeworthy. But you have to like watch back and see what you like and don't like, critique yourself. And I feel like, you know, just something you got to do, but we'll transition over to some other topics. I just wanted to address that. So we talked about why I left EXP, why I joined Select. I want to talk a little bit about a deal I just did. So, like I said, last night we went out in Fort Worth, sold my buddy a house out there, and we did a little housewarming party, and then went out to West 7th Street. And I was laughing because whenever we were talking about just like the transaction and everything, when I first got there, and he had beat me to the title company whenever the day we closed. And he's like, dude, I could tell that agent, could tell that like we kind of hardballed him and we, you know, we got him pretty good on the transaction. I was like, why do you say that? And he's like, well, this lady was just kind of looking at me when I walked in and didn't look too thrilled. And then ends up shaking my hand and saying, congrats, you know, but like not in a very enthusiastic way. And she was like, I'm the seller's agent on this. So, and I was just laughing because what happened is we came in, we went back and forth on counter offers 3 or 4 times because this house was a bit underpriced and got a lot of bids on it. And we came in with a really strong offer and not many, like barely any contingencies. And everything's great. They're like, okay, if we can switch title companies, we'll move forward with you and not this other offer. Cool, let's do it. I didn't want to. Wanted to use Clear, but all good. So get the inspection report back. And there's a fair amount of stuff that needed to be addressed, but it's obviously like considered in the price of the home. You know, so, in the negotiations after the inspection report comes back, I'm like, yeah, we're going to need 10 grand cash at closing on this and seller credits. I don't know if we can do that. They come back at probably like 4 grand. We go back and forth. I end up getting them $7,500 in seller credits to close the house. And I've gotten more than that in the past, but on this house, it's, I felt like that was a big win. And this is the clip right here. This is, I was trying to think of the clip I'm going to use for my Instagram. Mm. This is a very good point that I made to him yesterday, because I have a lot of people that don't understand the value of using the right agent. Like, I've been doing this for about 6 years. I'm very good at negotiating. So on this transaction, I probably made $6,500 after I paid fees out and everything. Right. So if I got him $7,500 in seller concessions and I got paid $1,000 less than what I saved him on the purchase of a home, I would say that's a good deal. And the commission that you're paying, like that the agent gets paid, doesn't come from the buyer. The seller pays that. So it's like, it's technically kind of a free service to the buyer. I offer more value than I'm taking from this relationship, and everyone walks away happy except for the seller's agent, because we got them. But that's why it's so important to use the right agent. If you just go on with any, you know, if you don't think it matters and you just find, or if you don't know what to look for, then you could be missing out on a lot of money. You could be losing money and you'll never even know it. But I guess, you know, ignorance is bliss, but that's just something we were talking about. I mean, that's a big deal. $7,500 at closing, on a house that's under $300,000, that makes a big difference. So we got some more topics to get into, but you gotta give me a second.
don't choke up for yourself over there.
I don't know. What do you think? How do you think this sounds? I feel like I'm kind of rambling. I may have to cut some stuff out, but
no, I think it's good. I think you got a good flow. Just kind of keep it exactly where you are. And then, you know, whether you want it to be educational or, you know, information passing, or if you want it to be comical, I don't think you've gotten to that point yet. So I think you're at a good impasse right now.
Do you think, I don't know, do you think is that, I feel like I went a little off track. This is cool. I'm going to do like a little like podcast right. consultation in the middle of it. Just one set, guys. Right. do you feel like I maybe went off track a little bit and rambled on the why I left EXP, you think?
Possibly.
A little bit? May have to cut some of that out.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, I think I did. But it's kind of tough to do a solo. Unless you're like hella prepared.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely have to have specifics. Or just in general, just kind of like, either it's going to be short and sweet, or you got something like you really want to present, you know what I'm saying, on the other side of it.
So. Yeah. I'm trying to get better at like telling stories around certain things. But then sometimes I'm like, okay, if I'm going to clip this up, I want to get to the point too.
Mm-hmm. So got to be hitting the shit. You know what I'm saying? You can't like miss out on the shit that's really going to catch people's attention.
Yeah.
What of the, is there a difference? I know you said as far as like how they recognize people and things like that, but like as far as how it benefits you.
So I think one of the biggest things is, like I was saying, you know, if I'm getting the same lead source that I know I'm getting this lead and I'm closing them, right? So I know the lead works. Like there's a lot of lead sources I'll get that we offer these. And I'm like, well, those don't really convert, you know, so that doesn't really do much for me except waste time.
Right.
But, I mean, just to shoot them straight, like they're Zillow leads, right? So Zillow leads are really good leads. They're really expensive. And if I'm getting Zillow leads in Fort Worth and I live in Frisco, then one, I'm driving a lot further to show those houses. It's taking more time out of my day. And then two, the price of homes are lower. Right. And the split is the same for both people. So like I'm paying out the same. And then, but the closing, so like if I close a $600,000-$700,000 house in Frisco, that commission's higher than selling a $250,000-$300,000 house in Fort Worth. And then the drive's shorter. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And then on top of that, like, you know, we've already done like Thanksgiving events. They're posting my stuff on social media, sharing it. More exposure, more local to the community.
And I noticed you got a lot more creative with like the shit that you're putting out too. So, you know, shout out to you for that.
Appreciate it.
I saw the 007 shit, the other shit before that around Halloween. I was like, okay, I see it.
Did you see the GTA one?
No, I didn't. Dude. I think I may have missed that one. I gotta go back to see it.
I put, instead of Grand Theft Auto, I put Grand Texas Abatos.
Yeah. So, listen, that's clever marketing right there. Shout out to you for that.
We got some more. I got one once a week. But now I got a graphics guy to do them.
Go ahead and get this. Shout out to the professionals. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, you got a lot of people that, you know, go the DIY route and shit turns out bad.
Yeah, and the funny thing about them, bro, is I'll put, I run ads behind them, and then other agents will see it. And sometimes they'll troll me, right? And they'll put it on their story and just with the laughing emojis and all that kind of stuff. But I'm like, yo, you're advertising another realtor in front of your clients.
Facts. Somebody with more charisma than you, too.
How you gonna troll me? Yeah, right? How you gonna troll me, bro?
Shout out to trolling the troll. You know what I'm saying?
So, that was something, too. I'm like, it's kind of funny, too, because I'm like, man, they're probably gonna be laughing at me at the new office. Like, they don't even know me, and they're seeing these kind of wild, like.
Right. Listen, but that's a good introduction, though. Like, at least you don't have to tiptoe around. They're like, yes, I am that guy.
Coming in hot, son.
Facts, yes, I am that guy. This is what you have to deal with. No, I'm with that completely. No sense of suppressing this shit. This is me.
Yeah. That's tough, though, you know, because, like, I just think, too, like, I was like, I don't know. You know how it is with podcasting. Like, people like that don't do it, or they're just kind of in their own bubble. They're like, oh, you podcast?
Right.
And it's like,
it's like a stigma around it.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, I'm not even like, I wouldn't even consider, like, I don't even think of it as podcasting, though. I'm just like, I need content ideas. And this is the easiest thing, the most cost efficient way to clip things up and get the most amount of like bang for your buck on videos. So,
And it's easy. Like, certain shit comes natural to certain people, right? So,
yeah.
Like, I hate calling everything I do a podcast, because a lot of times it's just, it can just be a show. It can just be a conversation. It can just be a,
yeah.
We're not necessarily podding for the sake of the normal meaning of the word, but just more so, this is what we do. Like, we've become accustomed to this.
Yeah.
And to do it at a certain level as well. Like, we're not sitting in front of a fucking cell phone.
Right.
You know, yelling at you through the fucking phone microphone. Like, come on, give us more credit than that.
That's what I'm saying, dude. We got that production, son.
You know what I'm saying? We try it here, man. We try it. For real.
Yes, sir. Couple topics. So we got three more topics, and then we can talk about a little business stuff towards the end. I want to talk a little bit about, because I know a lot of people have a lot of opinions around HOAs, right? And a lot of people are like, oh, I hate HOAs. I don't want to live somewhere that has an HOA. Here's my honest take on them. I think HOAs, like, if you're in Dallas or in the city, and I would be very cautious of the HOAs that you choose to find yourself in, because if you're looking at, especially like condos, those are the worst. They're not the worst. Those are the hardest ones, because, I mean, your mortgage could be like, you just got to keep an eye on those HOAs or in condos in the city, because your mortgage, you could find a place. I've seen this quite a bit. You'll find a place, and it's not even in like the best area in Dallas, right? And you're pre-approved for like 150, 200,000, right? And you're like, cool, I'm going to go find me a condo. Well, you have to make sure you're communicating with a lender, because if you're pre-approved for that amount, they're going off of like, how much can you afford to pay them a month and then be comfortable with it? That's what the bank's really factoring in there. So a $200,000 pre-approval with a $900 a month HOA, and I've seen this so many times, $125,000 condo with an $800 or $900 a month HOA, well, you're not qualifying for that $200,000 anymore, the $150,000 anymore, you know? So you got to be careful when you're looking for that, because you'll get your hopes up, and then it's like most of the nice places are going to have that steep HOA in these areas. And I've seen places that aren't even that nice. The only benefit from that is I think that you save on some insurance, like and warranties and things of that nature, because those HOAs are going to cover like roof, foundation, because like a lot of that stuff is shared with other units. So they all kind of pitch in to, cover that. Now, outside of condos, if you're looking at HOAs on houses, I like them. I think that they're a good thing, because you're not, you know, you may be able to want to do whatever you want to do with the property, but people are crazy out here, and you don't want to be living by a neighbor that can do whatever they want to do with their property too. And if you have people, you know, parking in their front yard or putting up stuff, like not keeping up the value of their home. Well, that's going to, your home's not going to appreciate as well over time. So like you're going to make more money on your home long-term if you have someone that is making like a HOA that's making sure that other people are keeping up the value of their properties. That's what makes a good community stay good. Now obviously like there's going to be some places that get excessive with it, and it's going to be tough to really know how they are unless you talk to people in the neighborhood. But even then, like people don't even always, they're going to give you more of an emotional response to how they feel about it versus like, you know, tell you the benefits of, I love that my HOA president tells me to mow my lawn every Friday. Like they're not going to say that, but like if they're keeping up with that kind of stuff, then the value of your property is going to go up over time. It's just going to show well, people are going to want to live there. You're going to get it, you know, typically you could maybe find a higher quality group of people in those areas because they're, you know, they care about that kind of stuff. But yeah, the cons are, it's just like, I do understand though that if, you're spending all this money on a house and the idea of home ownership, this and that, it's like, it's my property. I want to do whatever I want to do with it. I get that, but at the same time, it's not your property unless you paid cash. It's the bank's property. So you're just buying it from the bank over time. Because you stop making those payments.
Right.
Who's the real owner?
You find yourself educating people on a lot of things that they should like know already type of deal before going into this process.
You know what? That's a really good question. I was talking to my buddy the other day, and he was like, he's a lender. And he was like, you wouldn't believe, kind of like, I'm just going to paraphrase. He didn't say it this harsh, but it's like, you wouldn't believe how dumb people are when they walk into the bank.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that's why you have a job.
Right.
If they knew everything, they wouldn't need you.
They wouldn't need you.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I had to catch myself early on. They're like, how do you not know this? You know, but I'm like, oh, wait. That's what I'm getting paid for.
Your ignorance is, and no offense to anyone, because I'm just as ignorant about certain things too. Yeah. But your ignorance is, you know, is my profit margin sometimes. Yeah. So,
well, no, it's like Mark would do podcast consulting. Mm-hmm. If they knew everything Mark knew about podcasting, they wouldn't need the consultation.
We wouldn't even come here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't come here.
So,
for real.
I mean, that's to me, that's kind of, now there's levels to it.
Right.
There are some things I'm like, bro, how are you 40?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's more so where I'm getting to. Like, yeah. Damn, like, I'm explaining this part to you.
Yeah.
I know if you've never done this before, there's a sense of the unknown, but like, there's a general knowledge that you would think, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm going into it, then I'm going to do my own research to get at least surface level information, you know, prior to, so I'm not completely like, I don't sound dumb.
I think what's more frustrating to me are the people that do a little bit of that, but then think they know everything and then they don't listen to you when you actually, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather someone have dumb questions and ask me and take my advice than somebody that, you know, thinks they know everything and they just like shoot themselves in the foot and blame me.
Yeah. You know? 'Cause I can see that happening a lot as well.
Yeah. I had a guy yesterday, literally one of my favorite clients. And, he called me and he was like, it was on a lease we were doing. And he's like, hey man, I should have just let you take the lead more on this. I learned that I got a little bit too involved and now I'm in a, you know, kind of a tougher situation than I care to be, because the reality is you want me talking, you want me to have those conversations and not you. Right. Everybody thinks they're going to have the best, but like, you need somebody like me that's going to shoot people straight. I don't care how they feel. I don't care. Like, this is what we need. Can you do it or not? And then it's kind of like good cop, bad cop.
Right.
You know, like, look, seller's a great guy. I'm not.
Right. <You know? laughs> I'm gonna tell you what you need to know. Yeah. Okay.
Here's what we need. Take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we were joking about too with the Dylan, the deal I was telling we closed.
Mm-hmm.
We hardballed him so much. I would like joke about it in the process. Like, you know, yeah, this is what we need. Like, let me know. You know, I'm like, I told Dylan, I'm like, yo, I will blow this up right now.
Right.
I don't. You let me know. Can we get this credit or not? If we can't, I swear.
Yeah. That's real shit, though.
And, but at the same time, he's on the other line. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal if we don't get it, but it'd help.
Right.
But when I'm negotiating, I'm like, listen up, bud.
Like, nice.
I go. But, I mean, because, like, I just, at the end of the day, like, I've done this so much that I know what everyone's looking for, you know? Like, I know what the seller needs. I know what the buyer needs. I know I do my best to gather as much information up front so that I can use that information to help with the conversations as far as, like, how far can I go with these negotiations, you know? So, so we talked about HOAs. We can talk about, invest. So a little bit of real estate investing, just not like super, super high level, but I know a lot of people right now, is it a good time to buy? It's always a good time to buy. And I'm not saying that to try to sell you because I don't know that I've ever got a deal from doing these podcasts. I'm going to get deals either way. I don't need to try to sell people on, like, there's people out there that understand it's always a good time to buy. And those are the people I typically work with. But I'm just trying to share this information because it's like, I think that that's one of the more annoying questions. Yes, interest rates are high. Yes, it's not as affordable to purchase. Not everyone can do it. Is it a good time to buy versus can everyone buy are two different questions. If you can afford to purchase a home, and you're going to be paying a little bit higher of an interest rate right now, but if it's comfortable to you and you can move forward, I would highly recommend it. Reason is let's go back to 2020, 2021. Interest rates were 2-3% and people that bought then continued, they're going to brag about it. Dude, I locked it in at a 2, or I locked it in at a 2.25. I know someone got a 1.9, which is like unheard of. But the problem is the real winners in that market are the people that already had a home and refinanced. Because if you just purchased a home in that time frame, yeah, you got a low interest rate and a low monthly payment. But does it really matter that much on the monthly payment if you were able to go $50,000 to $75,000 over ask price because every property you're looking at had 50 offers on it? I was lost all the time. Yeah, well, sorry, we went with the offer that went $50,000 over and waived the appraisal, or they did the appraisal waiver, meaning that if the home doesn't appraise at the price you offered at, the buyer is willing to come up with the difference in cash from what the bank said that this home is worth to what you're paying for it, right? So, and that was about every single transaction. My whole point is now if there's a $250,000 house and you had to pay $300,000 to get it and you had to pay, you know, $50,000 cash at closing and for that difference to acquire that, well, you just overpaid for a property, but your payment's low on it. If you buy now, you have a higher payment, but you're paying $250, $275 for the $300,000 house. So that equity in your home is more there than if you overpaid for it. It's going to take you longer for that home to appreciate for you to, like, you know, for it to make up for how much you paid for the property. Does that make sense? Did I explain that well?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
It's kind of like tricky to explain, but, like, I don't know. It's like buying a pair of, Yeezys when they were, like, really hot. $200 shoes, but people were paying $1,500, $2,000 for them.
Resale.
And then now, are they really worth, like, no one's going to pay that now. I don't think. I'm not in the shoe world like that, but, like.
No.
You know?
No, especially considering, like, maybe at a certain period of time you could have got it.
Said, especially considering the Alex Jones interview.
Yeah, all things considered. Yeah. No, you're not getting that. No, not at all. But no, maybe at a time you could have. So if you, it's one of those things, if you catch it while it's hot, but like now, not so much.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're just like from a just like a financial perspective, the home's going to continue to appreciate. If you can get a $300,000 house for $250,000, which that's going to be, you know, I'm not saying that if it's listed at $300,000, you can offer $250,000. What I'm saying is one, the prices have come down a little bit, like on what people are listing since the hot market, because there's less demand. Mm. And then you can negotiate, you know, I'd say comfortably in this market today, you could probably get around $10,000 to $15,000 under list price on a property that's in demand, you know, unless there's like a bunch of offers on it and you're in like a bidding war. Now, if you're looking at something a little bit more in the country or a little bit outside of the city and it's been sitting for a while, you can probably go, you know, you can probably get a lot more. But I'm usually working with houses that, you know, it like where there's a little bit more demand. So you're saving a lot of money on the actual purchase. And then whenever, like I said, the real winners in 2020, 2021 were the people that had the home and then they refinanced to the lower rate. So then when rates come down, you can underpay for the house now. When rates come down, you can refinance and then you get the lower price and the lower rate. So it's a win-win. It's a great time to buy. Mm. Now, then the caveat is if you can afford it, you obviously don't want to overextend yourself and you know your financial situation better than anyone else. But the reality is if you can't afford it, the bank's going to let you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You don't need to make that decision. Just call the bank.
That is a fact.
You know, they'll let you know real quick what you can afford. So being said, when we're talking about investment properties and buying rental properties, what you need to look for is not necessarily, you're not really going to find a cash flowing property out the gate with a 7% to 8% interest rate. You know, like that just doesn't really exist. Prime example is the one we did in Fort Worth that we closed on a couple weeks ago. He bought something that needed some work done to it. So he's going to, you know, buy it, live in it for a little bit. That way he didn't have to pay the, like the investor rate for a down payment. Because if you're buying it as a primary residence and you're going to put anywhere from probably 3% to 5% down. And if you're an investor, then they're going to want 20% down. So it's a big difference at cash at closing. Right. Mm-hmm. So he's going to live in it for a little bit. I believe the taxes are going to be a little bit more friendly in that, like when you occupy it as well. Mm. Add the value to it. So he's going to like increase the value of the home. So it's like halfway a flip, but you're only buying something that needs really more of the cosmetic repairs and not like foundation, AC, roof, like big structural, like big ticket items that need repaired. You don't want to buy something like that. And instead of just selling it, he's going to rent it out. Mm. So that way he bought it a lot lower than what it's actually going to be worth. So then that mortgage payment's going to be lower. His interest rate is higher. So he is going to be cash flowing on it, but it's going to take him a little bit to get the work done, rent it out, things of that nature. The alternative is you want to try to find something that, I mean, realistically, is going to, like, you may be you buy, maybe it doesn't need a lot of work done to it, maybe it needs nothing done to it. You can put a renter in there and you may, best case scenario, have it cover the mortgage, have the renter cover the mortgage, like whatever the renter is paying should cover what you're paying in the mortgage. Or maybe you lose $200 to $300 a month. But you shouldn't look at it as losing $200 to $300 a month, because the house is essentially a decentralized bank. It's a bank account for you, because at some point you can borrow against that house and like the money's not, it's still going back into your pocket and just in a less liquid form. So I think that would be the mentality if you're like trying to find something. Like if you're trying to find something, like I am looking at this cash on cash return, you know, don't even waste anyone's time. Like you're not going to find, I heard people say like, well, I could put it in the S&P 500 and my year over year return is going to be higher. I'm like, sure. But you're not buying a house.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's, mm-hmm. it's a different game. So, and I love the S&P 500. I invest in the S&P 500 every week. Okay. Last topic I have, and then we can go if you have anything. Favorite areas to purchase a home in the DFW area. So, I have two answers for that. If you are looking as a primary residence and you are looking in the $500,000 to $700,000 range, all day I'm going to say Frisco, Prosper, Salina. I feel like I may be missing one. I would really say Frisco and Prosper. Salina is kind of like a little Prosper though. So like, I love those areas. I think they're right now like built for the amount of people that live there. The quality of living is really good. Lot of stuff to do without being kind of in an overpopulated city like Dallas. I've lived in Dallas and I live in Frisco now. I would take Frisco all day. I like coming to Dallas. You're still close enough. You can just hop on the toll road, come down if you want to do something out here. But the prices out in the Frisco and Prosper area are only going to continue going up, at least for the foreseeable future. And I think that just what you get for what you pay is really, really good out there. If you are a first-time home buyer and you're looking in the, you know, just a starter home, obviously you're not trying to spend $500,000 to $700,000. I'm going to tell you all day, Hearst, Euless, Bedford, North Richland Hills. Reason I say that is it's affordable. Quality of living is pretty good. You're in this area that's going to appreciate over time as well, because you're close to Fort Worth. It's a commutable distance. So if you decide to rent it out down the line, you'll have people that work in Fort Worth. Like I have this all the time. There, you might have a couple. One works in Fort Worth, one works in Dallas. I just came from Hearst today. We're in Dallas right now. It took me 20 minutes to get here. Like that was closer. That was like a quicker drive than it was from Frisco. And then we went out in West 7th last night from that same house, and it was 15 minutes to West 7th. So it's like 15, 20 minutes and you can be in Fort Worth or Dallas. You're also next to DFW Airport. So down the road, if you wanted to Airbnb it out, you could get that, like you could advertise it to people that are on business trips. And it's just like that area is not like it's a really good area. Fort Worth kind of has this thing where it's like kind of like any big city or Dallas, to where you can be in a great area at 1 second and then you go across the street and it's kind of questionable, you know, like, but Hearst, Euless, Bedford and North Richland Hills, in my opinion, they're not as big enough to really have those. Like, it's just kind of like, you know what you're getting no matter where you're at in the city from my experience. Mm. So first time buyers, or people just in general, people looking in that 250 to 350 range, I would say Hearst, Euless, Bedford, North Richland Hills. Or if you're looking for, you know, maybe just something nicer and it might be your forever home and you're looking to settle down in an area, and I would definitely say Frisco or Prosper or Salina. But I just don't understand. If you can buy in Frisco or Prosper, I don't know why you'd go to Salina, but they're all kind of the same to me. So, but yeah, that pretty much wraps up the real estate segment. John, 1 out of 10, how do you think this was? Shoot me straight.
Honest opinion?
Yeah.
About an 8.
8?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
One, I'd say majorly because you know your shit. And so, you know, we can take all of this shit and turn it into something else. You know what I mean? And like, once you see it, then you'll be like, okay, this was worth it. You know what I'm saying? I think from this side of it right now, this Weston in front of the camera and then Weston behind the camera doing, you know, what you do to promote yourself. I think once you see it, you'll be like, okay, I can work with this. And then you build from there. So it won't take long to get to a 10 though.
Yeah. And the thing I like about this too, cause I used to edit all my videos myself. Mm. you do a great job, obviously, at the whole thing.
Right.
And then I can just take that. And if I went off topic on the EXP part, because I think that's the only place I really missed.
Right, right, right.
I can just cut out.
Mm-hmm. Work around it. Yeah. But no, I think it's good, though. And I think it's smooth. I like a smooth, you see what I'm saying? Like, and then once you have your guest in, you know, the dynamic will kind of, it'll get back to what you're used to.
Yeah.
I think you pivoted a bit. I think you, when you started, you know, you had your co-host at the time, and then like Sean kind of came in, and then it pivoted a little bit. So I think more so this is you getting back to where you wanted it to be originally, yeah. You know, with learning everything you learned from the fucking 50 episodes you did previously.
Yeah.
So no, I fuck with it.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was, the hard part. I got so off track too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it. But like for a long time, I didn't know what I wanted to do with the podcast. So I started talking about just stuff I don't even care about.
Right.
For views. Just trying to get views.
At least you're honest enough to admit that, though. A lot of people, you know, arrive with their convictions.
Die by the sword.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you admitted that, though.
Bro, I started talking about politics, this is not. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. I really don't care.
That's a heavy subject to just take on, too.
Yeah,
like, you didn't just take on sports and just turn into a sports. It's like, no, I'm going to jump head first into politics.
Let's talk politics right. And religion. Yeah, dude.
You would have set shit on fire. That's where you start at. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that type of shit. But no, I think now, though, this is a good, and you know, it's ushering you into a new era as far as life. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Good old transitional phase in your life. So
yeah. You know what the funny thing is too, is I was like, all right, I'm gonna go back to just doing like real estate, business, things of that nature. And I was like, maybe I'll get more supportive comments. You know, people are going to like appreciate it. Bro, y'all got to chill, man. Y'all got to chill comments.
There's a line in one of my favorite songs that says, people are going to hate you for whatever you do.
Facts, dude.
It does not matter what you do. You can go out here and feed turkeys to the homeless, bro, and they're going to pinpoint the fact that you're doing something wrong in that.
I keep getting this consistent comment from people that are like, don't bother listening to this guy. This isn't a real podcast. I'm like, what does that even mean, dude? Like, what do you mean? And they're like, this guy just bought a mic, started yapping. L.
Like, oh my L. God. It's not a podcast. So what is it? Like, yeah. did you watch it or listen to it? If you did either of the two, it's a podcast.
Or dude, and what'll happen is like people will comment on it and they'll start. And then like there's someone that hates me,
mm-hmm.
and then there's someone that likes me, those people will start arguing in the comments, and they'll get so off topic to what the video is even about.
Right, right.
Like, and then on top of that, you got to consider that, like, it's a 20-second clip out of an hour-long podcast mm-hmm. that probably got taken out of context in the first place.
Right.
And I'm like, how did we get here?
Like, listen, people will misinterpretate the original meaning of anything just to get their point across.
Yeah, the last mm-hmm. one was the clip I put talking about, like, I literally was just talking about my experience of, like, I'm 28 and people are always asking when I'm getting married. And to me, it was a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for me to not date and live that life because I'm investing so much in my business,
mm-hmm.
this and that. And they're like, not a real sacrifice. That's not a real sacrifice. And acting like I'm giving general advice to people. Like, I'm not right. telling people to do this.
No.
At all.
That's what I felt my sacrifice
go
was.
Start a family.
Right. Like, that's what you want to do, okay? Dude,
this is not going to produce maximum happiness. I can right. promise you that.
Right.
It's just what I feel like I'm going to do. You know, it's like, I don't know.
And considering most people who say that shit, like, let's be honest. None of you motherfuckers planned that shit. Like, not for the most part, especially the man. Maybe, you know, maybe the woman knew, like, okay, this is what I'm doing. But for most guys.
The women knew, bro.
Yeah, y'all didn't plan this shit, bro. Don't get on here and try to say, oh, go start a family. Bro, your first kid was a fucking accident. And your second. All of my kids were. I got four of them, okay? They all were fucking accidents. I don't mind saying it, okay? So let's stop acting like you want to tell a young man to go have a damn family as if that's going to fix all his problems.
Well, and then the other one was like, this nerd was like commenting, and he's like, you could tell he was just like fresh off like some Fresh and Fit or some Andrew Tate.
I love that,
and I love those. Like, I love those are entertaining podcasts. I enjoy them, but they're in the comments like, you're not biologically wired to want a family. You're biologically wired to have sex and reproduce at a high level and meet different women. I'm like, bro, you're going to tell me about meeting women? You're in my comments, bro. You're literally like on YouTube watching my videos right. at 2 p.m. on a Thursday, and you're not working, and you just typed out a paragraph that like you're not getting paid for.
Not at all. So who's not getting women here?
Who, right? Yeah, like, get dude, out of here. Chill.
No, but listen, you know, and that's the same thing. I kind of off topic. Did Fresh and Fit get their YouTube page demonetized? Is that what happened to them?
I think so. I think they did. Like, yeah, I know that they can't. They don't get paid on the chats.
Yeah, they so don't they, get. They don't. The last ones that I seen, and what they're saying is, oh yeah, they're giving a how to monetize and how to, you know, they're on Rumble now. So yeah. that's the thing. Rumble is the thing, I guess, for them, because they got demonetized from YouTube. So now I can tell they're not even really promoting their videos. But
yeah,
that's an interesting concept though, because that's a prime example of like people that have podcasts that spew a rhetoric or a message to certain people, and it's taken a certain way, and it could either cost you or it could benefit you, or it could benefit you a long time to be that way, but then it may cost you in the end. You see what I'm yeah. saying? So I think that's an interesting like outlook on that as well, like from all of this shit.
Yeah, and that's kind of too, like, aside from the fact of like me talking about politics, religion, this and that does absolutely nothing but for me, but like, you know, it just splits the people that probably want to work with me, I guess.
No, that's a fact.
But on top of that, even like for the long term YouTube stuff, like it didn't help me, because it's like I was getting strikes and like you know.
Yeah, and then you don't. I feel like if you can listen, I'm one of the people that feel like if I can make it without doing the extra shit, then I must be really doing something.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
There's so, real value there.
Yeah. If it's a slower crawl to where I want to get to, that's fine. I understand. I may not have to jump out the window with outlandish topics or speak on every hot topic that pops up, because I can't do it myself. Like, I don't get into a lot of pop culture. Like, I'm at a phase now where I'm working so hard that I'm in kind of a shell. Like, I just want to work and see, like, the benefits of what I'm doing so much that I don't even really keep track of a lot of music as much as I used to.
Really?
Like, I'm just focused on, like, what can I do to, like, improve everything I'm doing? Like, okay, do I need to invest more in my equipment, or is it time that I need to spend? Or, you know, balancing that shit,
you,
bro.
But you mostly do, like, interviews, right?
Right now,
interviewing people?
We still do, like, we're still doing the All Over Radio, which is, you know, basically either us, me and Clark interviewing somebody, or just, you know, anything that he has going, but that's the primary focus now.
You ever thought about doing like advice for podcasting and stuff like that?
I just need like the premise of it. I never like thought it out completely.
Be easy for you to do. And
I guess so, right? Yeah. Like, you just turn the fucking camera on. Like,
Like, I guess you couldn't talk about, like, or just like screen record you editing things. Like, this is what I do.
Gotcha. That type of deal. Yeah, that would be interesting.
These are the resources I use. Like, don't give too much so people still come to you. But same thing. Like, I probably could set all this up and do it, but I'm not about to.
Facts. Yeah. You know? It's also the convenience aspect of it. Yeah. That's where I win at in life. That's what I'm banking this whole system on.
Hell yeah.
It's like, let me take everything off your hands. Like, and that's always what people, they'll come in and be like, hey, I can, you do the audio and the video? Yeah. Do you do editing too? It's like, yeah. It's like, oh shit, so I can just pay you for everything? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just the convenience aspect of it that I win on. So I never want to lose that.
Dude, that's a good, that's like the best I wouldn't even say advice, but I heard someone say this one time, and it's like kind of like the best businesses remove friction from situations. Like, how, and I'm always thinking that, like when I'm doing real estate, is like, how can I make this process easier?
Simplify it, bro. And what you said about even with like Mark and how he used to do those podcasts, you know, where he would give you, I don't want to do that.
No,
don't come in. I'm not telling you how to do this. Like, I don't want to give you too much. Like you said, I can do the simple tutorial shit with like how I edit and shit like that. But I'm not going to tell you every step of the way, because then what do you need me for? Yeah. Like you said, like, I'm not going to give you all the game. But what I will say is, hey, you know, when you come in, you don't have to do this to get where you want to go. You know, I'll give you what I've learned from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you can do like just how to what makes a good pod, like not like the editing side, but like what conversation wise, like
as far as like dialogue, so maybe topics and segments and shit like that.
Yeah, because like I'm asking you right now, you know what I mean? Like, facts, what could have been better? What could have been more, like that kind of stuff? But
cool. Listen, I'm here for it, y'all. If y'all need it, let me know.
Yeah, tell them where we're at. How to find you?
This is 8204 Elmbrook Drive, All Over Media Studios. You can find us on Google, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, wherever you can find content. You can find us. Just look up All Over Media, and it should pop up. A L L O V A when you're spelling all over.
Yes, sir. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. So man,
that went kind of quick though.
How long are we in here?
You cut it right at 55 minutes. That's a professional.
Nice.
But next time we'll have like bottle girls and like some, we'll put some cocaine on one of the tables. You know what I'm saying? We're going to turn this shit up. We'll get a wrestler as a guest just to, you know, pop up the adrenaline, make sure he's steroided it up. We're going to turn this shit up. Okay, this was mild, all right? Yeah.
Just getting warmed up in here. So, yeah, obviously my name is Weston Kirk. If you're looking for real estate in the DFW area, reach me, 940-210-2399. Weston at selectlabel.com. SLCT is how you spell select. And let me sell you a house. I'm down. Down to do it. So like, share, and subscribe. Thanks for watching. Let me know what you think of this new format. And see you, I don't know when, but we'll see you soon.
Peace.